Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Sorry about earlier. We were having technical difficulties like always. For some reason, the show was only scheduled for 12 minutes instead of 2 hours. So we had to reschedule. But I hope everybody's doing good tonight. We just wanted to get up on here and just talk and, you know, see what's going on with you guys and what's been going on all week. It's been all types of news and crazy things going on. How's your week been so far, Ronan?
It's going pretty good. I got my MRI done. I'm just waiting for the results and kind of threw me off. I thought there was going to be some sexy music before we was going to come in.
No. We don't have a budget for sexy music. Escape got fired.
Hell, man.
My homeboy's texting me back. Okay, look, before the show started, I was texting somebody. I thought I was texting Ronan. And I'm like, are you calling in? Are you ready? I'm in the studio. And I'm like, why aren't you responding? Where are you at? And then I finally looked at the phone. And my homeboy's like, what are you talking about? I'm at work. What studio? Where am I calling it to? And so I just told him, like, oh, never mind. So I was texting the wrong person. So then he just texted me back again. He's like, man, he's like, I thought you was on one. He's like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, my bad. I was serious, too. I was saying back to back, like, don't forget the calling number, such and such. I know he's like, dang, TT, what's really going on? But he had texted me to invite me to his birthday party next weekend. So that's how he ended up in my phone. And I will go. I need a break. I need to go to a party. I ain't been out. I ain't been to a party in probably like 2 months. I've been staying close to home. All these crazy people out here.
Yes. Yeah, you need a break. You've been going hard to paint for too long. You don't want to burn yourself out.
I do. I need a break. I need to get it in. I need to go out and mingle, meet new people. You know what I'm saying? I'm too young to be sitting in the house on some old people shit, just sitting in the house on the internet. I need to start mingling with people. It's 2014. You know, I set like a list of goals for myself. Me and my homegirl was talking the other day. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go out. I'm going to start dating again. I'm going to be more open-minded. You know, I'm going to be more open to other people. You know what I'm saying? I would like to meet a conscious guy. Right. You know, I would like to meet a conscious guy who's on his shit. But, you know, I do live in Minnesota. So the likelihood of that is, like, slim to none. So I'm going to just start giving other people chances, too, and just see what happens in 2014. I'm going to be happy one way or another. So I'm gone next weekend and, you know, go hang out with my friends and go see what they're on and, you know, see what everybody's been up to because I ain't hung out in a while. So that'll be nice. Got something to do.
Well, I mean, you gotta get out there and, you know, and, like, live life. I mean, like, I get, you know, some things didn't end well, but then you can't wallow in that. You have to sit there and, like, okay, you took a little time to cover me. You're not a robot, but still you can't be, like, you know, one of these old prudes to sit there with a, you know, you don't want to be a cat farmer. Just going out there and
Old lady with a bunch of cats.
Yeah.
Hell no, I can't do that. I refuse to be one of them. I don't do cats in the first place, but no, No, I plan on having a good damn spring and summer. I can't wait for this winter to end. Once this winter is over with, I plan on getting it in and, you know, like I said, mingling and hanging out and meeting new people. Definitely ain't about to sit in this house and be bored, trying to go on vacation and go kick it and have a good time. And that's about it.
Really? Ooh, I just want you to have. Well, think about it. I just want you to have fun. You know, that's what I encourage anybody. Like, y'all, again, this is real difficult. It's cuffing season, so you have to look at, you know, if this person's an asset or a liability. If they're a liability, you know, take your time after you break up. Depends how you do it. Then just get back in the game again. Like, dating is a numbers game. You're going to run into all kind of characters until you run into the one that fits.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's life. And, you know, it's like I don't even take it serious anymore as far as, like, feeling any type of way because half these damn relationships are a joke anyway. I mean, we was talking today on Facebook. Because I was catching up on couples therapy. I don't know if you've been watching that. And I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that you've seen this show because I've been missing a few of the episodes. And so I'm catching up. I'm cleaning my room and everything. I'm vacuuming, cleaning, you know, doing everything. And I'm sitting here like, I cannot believe Ghostface Killah's arrogant, just, I mean, his attitude, the way he's treating the girl, the way that the girl's allowing herself to be treated, the fact that he has two women. And it's like, I understand every relationship has their problems. Trust me, I understand. Mm-hmm. Even the other people on the show, they all have their issues. But why the black folks got to be extra? Why the black man on the show, the one black man on the show got to be so extra? He done came on there with this girl that he's only known for 4 months, who's in love with him. He's cheating on her with his other girl that he's been with for 2 years. I'm like, really? I mean, just more dysfunctional relationships on the media. Nobody else is in this love triangle. And I just swear up and down that Ghostface was this conscious dude. And, you know, Wu-Tang, that was my group back in the day. And, you know, just to see him on there, I'm just like, first of all, I'm like, what the hell is a Wu-Tang member doing on reality TV? Okay, I got over that. But the way he treats her, the way he's just so arrogant, and, you know, and it's causing a lot of discussions on the forums, like on Boss Up and all the little, you know, blog sites. And folks, you know, are once again using the way he's acting to say, well, that's typical black men. They're never faithful. That's all they do is cheat. And, you know, once again, he's helping to perpetuate that stereotype. I'm not lying. You can go to the comment section on Boss Up. Let me, matter of fact, let me read you one of the comments. Let me read you one of the comments, okay? And y'all tell me in the chat room what y'all think. Okay, so one of the comments, they're saying that it's a sad state of affairs when the only images we see of black men on TV are immature womanizers. You have Ghostface, Peter Gunn, Stevie J, and so on. All of these men are over the age of 40. It's time for men, especially black men, to grow up and take their positions as husbands and fathers. Women need to stop accepting and allowing men to treat them in a disrespectful manner. Ghost is actually doing her a favor because he's a grown-ass little boy who hasn't figured out what his role is as a man. We all have choices, and at some point in time, as a man, you have to, as a man, you, I don't know, you know how they start writing that internet shit. You have to take some type of control over your dick. Okay, that's what she's trying to write, dick. both of these chicks must be crazy to stick around with someone so immature and disrespectful. I mean, it's true. Like, these are the images that are being blasted to the world. Come on, black man, talk to me.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, again, like, he's fucking two chicks, and they know about each other, but they still there. So, obviously, either the wood is good,
or
that's what she's used to.
No, they didn't know about each other. Ronan, they didn't know about each other.
They don't?
Ronan. No, I thought he was watching the show.
Hey, I've been watching off and on, but again, I've seen
okay,
the situation.
Okay,
no,
now neither
again.
You watching the show or you're not watching the show. You can't be talking about, well, they knew. They didn't know about each other, babe.
I'm watching the show, but then I've seen this scenario played out time and time and time again. I have.
Right. That's true. And BH1 Access is in the chat room. He's saying that they chose to go on the show and they didn't have to go on the show, which is true. None of these grown adults are getting drugged on the show, so it says a lot about them in general. But again, you know, like this person is saying in the chat room, that this, you know, this is what they're showing black men to be. And that's how a lot of us are perceiving our black men to be now. Because, I mean, let's keep it where we can all say the media and, you know, all these conspiracies. Mm-hmm. But again, like VH1 said, these black men are signing up to be on these shows knowing that they're womanizing, knowing that they're playing each, you know, their wives, their girlfriends. Look at Peter Gunn. He said it flat out. He went on the show because he didn't have no money. He needed a check, and he figured, I'm going to get caught anyways. Why not get paid to, you know, play my life out on TV? So this was happening regardless, and it just seems like that's the situation that a lot of people are in relationships. Like, I mean, I'm even finding with a lot of folks, you know, that I email and that email me and I talk to, on Facebook and YouTube, it's like a lot of folks are just cool. Like, they're scared to get back into relationships just because of all the nonsense that's going on. It's like nobody wants to be faithful. Nobody wants to settle down. It's just easy to just have a side piece or just have some arm candy. But it's like commitment, like we talked about last week with marriage, it's like commitment is not even, you know, it's not cool no more. Everybody wants to have, you know, two guys or two girls, you know. It's crazy.
This is why I said, like last week, it's most important to not just have unedited communication, but to pay attention not just to what this person is saying or their body is saying, but what they're not saying. You have to add everything up. I mean, that stuff that happened with Peter Guns and Ghostface, yeah, that's possible. But then you have to, it's a matter of perspective, too. Why do they keep calling them little boys and all this stuff? Obviously, these two chicks like it. You saw with Peter Guns, Tara, and Amina. That mess carried on for how long? I mean, it was stupid that dude married the side chick and treated her like the side chick. It's a little confusing, but she's still there. So, again,
right,
like, you can't really say nothing that they're going to sit there and stick with it. I mean, like, again, you could tell them the truth time and time again. And I told you that there was that guy that I knew who told a chick three times before she finally decided to have common sense kick in and she was done, that he had a chick, he had another chick pregnant, and she had to accept the baby.
Right. Well, I mean, look at, I mean, Gabriel Union. You know, it's like that all over, you know, but, you know, it's just kind of crazy the way that, how come every image of black men, this is the image that we're seeing? So my thing, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that all black guys cheat or no shit like that. Y'all know I'm not into that whole throwing people in one bucket because that's not fair. That's like saying that all black women are, you know, chicken heads and hood rats. But what I'm saying is that it seems to be, you know, almost like this image is being put out there, okay? Where's all the happy black guys? Where's all the guys who are in good relationships, healthy relationships? Even if they're not on TV, you have D-Wade out here. He done had a baby with his jump off. You have Ludacris. He done had a baby with his jump off. And then recently it's come out that the reason why T.I. and Tiny are into it, that T.I. done knocked up one of his little jump offs in Atlanta. So, you
and
know,
Paul
so it, so I guess, right, so this is my thing I'm asking y'all in the chat room. Do y'all even think, you know, relationships are even worth it nowadays? I guess it's how I'm looking at it. Like, does it even make sense to even get into a relationship because it just seems like it's just so much unnecessary drama? Like, are there nobody out there who are cool and content with just being with one person, or do you guys feel like monogamy is just a joke and maybe people are just better off being honest and being in open relationships? Because my thing is, you know, to each its own. I have no issues with open relationships. If that's what if all parties are aware and they're cool with it, hey, y'all's grown, y'all do y'all. The whole open relationship thing for me, it's not really for me because I know how I am when I am with somebody, especially intimate. That's very serious to me. I'm not trying to share you with every fucking chick out here on the block. And plus, not you know, there's a lot of shit out here too. So that's just not my thing. But I can see how for some people it's cool. I've had girls email me like, look, I like being the side piece. I like being took care of. I like, you know, the fact that my dude, whatever, can go back to his female and his wife and deal with her headache. And then, you know, when I need him to come through, he takes me out on dates, shopping. He treats me like a queen. And a lot of folks would say, okay, well, you're selling yourself short, you know what I mean, because you're basically at his beck and call. You're there to provide him with sex. But 20 years down the line, are you truly going to be happy just being the side piece? So what do y'all think about the whole relationship dynamic nowadays? I see a lot of people making comments in the chat room.
We need to hear from the people. But personally, I think just like any kind of propaganda, they're trying to keep people from getting together, like genuinely. Like they don't want family units to get back in order, like to be cool again. Because once you have family units together, they start building communities. And then when you start building communities, you don't need the police to police us. We police each other. And then once it spreads on, they can't, you know, get through their agendas that, you know, they usually pass on easily nowadays. It's more than just put an image out there. It's something psychologically. You know, like when people see all that foolishness going on a reality television show, which you should really look at like this bullshit here.
We can.
I mean, again, like we do the research. We sit there and like vet people and like, okay, what's this person about? You look at them and see what they're talking about, how they're living. Does what they say and what they do match up? If it doesn't, then you got a problem. But some people.
Right, but now how do we get that across though to the young kids? Because you figure, Ronan, a lot of us, we're old enough to decipher and say, you know what, Peter Guns ain't shit. We understand that's not how a relationship is supposed to function and work and everything else. But now, if you're a young boy, okay, especially like my son's age, he's not into reality TV, thank goodness. He's just not into it. But you have a lot of kids who are left at home and there's nothing else on. So how do we get to the young kids, like to the young boys, because this is what they're thinking relationships should be. You know what I mean? Getting with one girl and have another girl on the side. And I mean, I remember a dude when we were 16, he had two kids on the way at 16. And everybody was more concerned about whose baby was going to be pretty. And it's like, you know, looking back on it, it's like y'all are bringing a kid into the world. He's all gloating because he's a player and he got two kids on the way. And he's not realizing the big responsibility of the situation. And even back then, that was something scarce. But now with the way it's being pushed in the propaganda machine, it just seems like this is just the norm now. Like, it's just normal. Like you said, a unified unit is not cool no more. And a lot of folks are making comments in the chat room. Princeton Clay is saying, nope, they're single, working and going to school. Crystal Chanel is saying that I used to believe that relationships were not worth it, but I've changed my mind. VH1 Access is saying that he agrees. Let's see, David's saying that all men are pigs regardless of the media. Mr. X is saying family and adulthood are looked at as corny and out of date by many people today. And that's so true. And that's the thing. It's like a lot of us are old enough to remember when there was a Cosby Show and you had a mother and a father and you have even Roseanne. You know, people would consider them trailer park trash, but that was my show. Oh, I love Roseanne. Right. I'm a big fan of the Roseanne Show. But you had the mother, the father, they were working, they were, you know, trying to do their thing, take care of their kids. There is no more family unit. And we can say what we want to say about reality TV, but that's all that's on TV, period. That's on TV.
Well, the thing is, like, reality TV has always been on, but we had parents at the time, like the 70s, 80s, and faintly in the mid-90s. We had parents to disseminate the information like, you know, hey, you know, that's just TV. Turn that off. And even though you didn't see everything that was picture perfect all the time, that's what you learn from the parents, when parents were working together to show them as an example. Because we are the first teachers as parents, aunts, uncles, everybody. But when you have but I think one of the solutions that can that happen is like what we have right now. We don't need the media to tell anything. We have, like, you know, our YouTube channels, we have Blog Talk Radio. When people hear that everything, you know, is different in reality versus what they say on television, then they start to question everything. They have to, versus, like, taking everything for face value. You don't have to be another Joe Budden and Tahiri situation, or you don't have to have all this crazy drama to, like, make yourself feel like you have something successful. We just need to show better templates. Like, when we do videos, we can talk about certain things and answer certain questions and challenge people to, like, see things for themselves, do their own research. I mean, this is supposed to be the age of information, and it makes no sense that we have smartphones of stupid people.
Right. Well, we have a lot of that. But you know what, though? It's easy, too, to knock the younger generation and say, you know, well, look, you know, you guys go do your research. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know, I'm just talking, you know, from seeing other point of views. Because a lot of times we want to get on the younger kids and say, oh, you shouldn't be like that and you shouldn't be watching reality TV. But then when you look at the folks on the show, these people are not our age. These are people who are our parents' age. Peter Burns has a child our age. You know what I'm saying? This man is in his 40s. Ghostface Killer, you know what I mean? This is a grown man in his 40s. So when you have grown people who are supposed to be the elders acting like ratchet children, it's crazy. Even I was watching SWV, and I made a comment about this on Facebook. I said, I'm tired of these people ruining my childhood. Like, I had images as a kid of what I thought Wu-Tang was. Like, I thought it was a group of conscious dudes, and they were spitting all these rhymes, and, like, he just totally crushed my childhood right now with this show. Just like with SWV, I thought they were, like, literally sisters, and, you know, I didn't know what happened. I just assumed they got married, and they had kids, and they kind of went their separate ways. I didn't know that, you know, Lily was homeless and sleeping in a hotel, and she, you know, she'd be trying to screw everything that moves, and they're out here getting ass implants and, you know, tummy tucks, and, you know, it's just like, we want to get on the young kids. We want to talk shit about the people who are in their 20s, about them being ratchet and them being superficial and getting ass injections and all this other stuff. But then you have these grown folks who are in their 40s who are our parents, okay, who are our parents trying to keep up with the kids in the 20s. When I see they're getting ass injections, I'm like, really? Come on now.
Yeah.
Like, really? But we want to sit here and tell younger girls, oh, love who you are. Love yourself for what you're supposed to be. And, you know, love being in your 20s. Love being young, you know, and embrace your body. But then you have a woman who feels like, okay, well, I'm overweight. So instead of you working out and encouraging girls to work out and lose weight, you want to run and go get plastic surgery. So it's just, again, that hypocrisy that a lot of adults spew out, but then they don't live by themselves. And I think that's why a lot of the younger generation is just like, you know, F y'all don't make no sense. Y'all say one thing, y'all do another. And that's why I think there's such that gap where we can't even reach the younger kids now, because now they don't want to hear nothing, you know, the elders got to say, because a lot of the elders is out here running around just acting crazy and ratchet.
Well, a lot of them gave up. They figured there was nothing else out here for me, you know, fuck it. But, you know, we were growing up, we had, you know, all kind of people putting out positive messages. We know this talking about self-destruction. You had TLC this time, you know, advocating safe sex and, you know, women having self-esteem. And then there was, like, again, it was a lot more positive, but then, like, they thought they could make more money trying to be hard and negative. And while that worked for a while, look what it has turned our neighborhoods into. We don't even relate to each other. You could be living next door to somebody for 10, 20 years and don't know their first name, which is fucked up.
Right. Oh, so, yeah, they're making a lot of good points in the chat room. David is saying, oh, my God, yes, especially the kids' shows. It's all about fame whoring. It's never about family values or the teenage struggle. Oh, yes, I remember Full House, you know, Family Matters. I mean, you felt like you were going through puberty with those kids. The same issues they were having, you were having, but you don't see that on these shows now. Everybody's trying to be the next celebrity and the next singer on a lot of these other shows, or they're just ditzy like Sam and Cat. You know, I watch that with my kids, and it's funny, but I hate the fact that they're just so stupid and ditzy. And it's like, I have boys, so, you know, it doesn't affect them as much, but I know my oldest son was talking about a girl in his class, and he's been kind of talking about her all year about how ditzy she acts. And, like, she'll just ask a stupid question looking for attention. Like, she asked my son. They were talking about Martin Luther King. And she says, wasn't he born in, like, the 1800s? Like, she'll say little stuff like that looking for attention. Or she'll say, you know, I just don't understand. Like, I didn't realize buses were around back in the 50s. You know, just, like, just little stuff. And I told my son, I said, she's doing that. Yeah, she'll just say just little random stuff. He's like, Mom, I don't know what's wrong with her, because when it comes to taking a test, she gets all A's. So she's not a dumb girl. So this is what I told my son. I said, what she's doing, and you're going to find this out as you get older, she's playing a role. She's trying to downplay her intelligence. I said, there's nothing stupid about that little girl, especially being that she gets good grades on her test. I said, what it is that she thinks that it's cute to be ditzy. And then when I sit there and I watch Sam and Cat, I said, now it makes sense where a lot of these girls are getting that. And this was before Sam and Cat, because I remember Pink did a song about it, talking about, I don't want to be a stupid girl, when Jessica Simpson was acting off, you know, ditzy and stupid. And a lot of girls do that. They think that that's what it takes to attract a guy. Let me not show how smart I am. Let me not be able to hold an intellectual conversation. Let me just shake my boobs or shake my ass or focus on my physical beauty, thinking that that's all it takes to get a guy. And yes, you'll attract them physically. They'll come, you know, but usually it's in the way of sex or something sexual. But can you keep them? You have to be able to keep somebody stimulated after the sexual act is over with. You know, but like I taught my son, I said, what it is she's playing a role. She's saying that stupid shit in the classroom and making ditzy comments and acting like she just doesn't know anything, because it gives her attention. And any attention is good attention to kids, good or bad. And she gets off on y'all calling her ditzy. She says that she's not ditzy, but obviously she's playing a role because she knows the assignments, she gets her work in, and she's a really good student. And he was like, but I don't understand why she does that. I said, you'll kind of figure it out as you get older. It's just a game that little girls play. And I remember when I was in elementary school, my science teacher, I'll never forget this because that was one of my favorite subjects was science. Don't ask me about math. But my science teacher, she used to make it a point when we had to do projects in science class, she never let us work with the boys. She said, I want the boys on one team and I want the girls on another. So let's say our class was split, you know, half boys, half girls. It'll be a table of four. So four girls here, four girls there, four boys there, right? So we asked her one day, I'm like, well, why can't we work together? Because, you know, I was more of a tomboy anyways. I'm like, you know, why can't we work with our, you know, our homeboys? Why we got to, how come it's just the girls? She said, because what happens, what I've noticed over the years, is what she told me, I'll never forget this. When you put boys and girls together at a table and you tell them to do a project, the girls tend to fall back and let the boys take over because they don't feel like it's okay to be smart or they don't feel like they want to, you know, to add their input because then they think like, oh, they're being a bitch or they're being too forceful. But she broke it down to us. And I'm telling you, that whole year, we never got to work with the boys on any projects. So whatever projects we came up with as females, we did that. We couldn't say, oh, it was Mike's idea or Mike took over the project. We were responsible for it. You know, even if we failed miserably, we were responsible for our project. And I always took that with me, you know, that it's okay to be smart. It's, you know, it's so, you know, if you're ditzy and you're naturally ditzy, then I'll pray for you. But it's okay to be smart. It's okay to talk about other shit besides makeup. Me personally, I couldn't tell you the difference between any of my makeup brushes. I don't know shit about Mac, but I can break down a MacBook to you. And I'm not embarrassed by that. You know what I'm saying? Like, some girls feel like that's something wrong. Like, I'm not embarrassed by that. You know, I think there's so many aspects to us as human beings that I don't think there's anything wrong with a female being smart, being conscious, but then still being funny and goofy and, you know, being able to hang with the homeboys and, you know, hang with the girls and be feminine. I think that we should be able to, you know, appreciate all aspects of our personality. You should never dumb anything down to project some type of image to get somebody. Because once you give somebody a fake way, you got to keep being fake. And then you turn around and say, damn, I'm not even the same person I was initially. And that's not a good feeling.
No, and that's why, like, we got along for all these years because we would have conversations like it'd be more in-depth and hours would pass by, and it's more refreshing because you already know my feelings about beautiful retards. I can't do them. I just cannot. I can't stomach talking to them. It's like just that either they're just twirling their hair and I can just hear static or tumbleweed blowing between the ears. I cannot do this shit. And there's guys like myself who like, okay, what does she bring to the table besides a vagina and her problems? Is she cool? Is she, you know, is there any personality? Does she have a sense of humor? Does she have any depth? Now, some guys, you know, occasionally, okay, well, I don't want to say nothing. All I want to do is just smash and dash. But, again, that just puts you in a certain category. But if you got a lot more to offer, then the whole dynamic changes. You know, it's like how they approach you changes. And then, again, you know, you learn to respect a person on a deeper level rather than some of these cum dumpsters out here who just think they're smart with a degree and they have no common sense to save their lives.
Right. Oh, yeah, you got a lot of those, too. You know, oh, I have a degree in, you know, aerospace technology, but you asked her to cook dinner, and she's, huh? No, I've never cooked that before.
she burned Thai ramen noodles. Just,
right.
Just terrible. You know, we say that last year is like a professional ass wiper. You got quite a few of them out there thinking they're doing something.
Oh, people who want to make their titles more than what they are, like, ma'am, you just wipe ass for a living. Stop. I'm the top department of all the, you know, the CNA nurses. And da-da. You do the same thing as the rest of the CNA nurses. Stop trying to make yourself so much up here. You know, like, I had somebody, and we go, somebody I know, they go by the name Doctor. They're like, you know, they changed their name to Doctor, let's say Dr. Smith. We're not going to put them on blast because they probably listening. But they changed their name to Dr. Smith on all their emails and, you know, everything. And I'm like, why? And I asked them, and I was being serious. I wasn't even trying to be disrespectful. I said, did you go to school for a doctoral degree, or are you a physician now? Because I haven't seen you in a while. Like, what do you do for a living? Oh, I sell insurance. So where did you get the doctor from? Oh, it just sounds professional. So I'm going to need you to be your regular self. You know, it's like, why are people trying to make themselves more than what they are? That's why people on YouTube, oh, I'm a video producer. No, I blog. I turn on the camera and I talk shit. Like, stop trying to make yourself act like you're just so much more than what you are. You're a vlogger. There's nothing wrong with that. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't understand, like, these personas that people try and put out there. And it's like, just say you sell insurance. There's nothing wrong with being an insurance salesman. We all need insurance in life. Why you got to add doctor in front of your name? You're not curing cancer.
Yeah, but that's the main problem. One of the main problems out here is you got people in mass ashamed to being themselves. Like when you, let's say, you know what you do. You do IT, play video games. You know, you do all kind of things. And show no shame about it. But you got people, I don't want to, you know, tell everybody, you know, I do this. You know, I don't want to sound too smart so I can fit in. If you got to dumb yourself down to fit in with motherfuckers, you're fucking up. That you're supposed to like be around people who challenge you to be yourself, not just yourself, but a better version of yourself. And if you don't have anybody around like that, you're running around paying top dollar and lying to yourself to fit in with some people who don't give a fuck about you anyway. That's a circle. I mean, that's the recipe for disaster.
Right. And I understand Dr. Dre doing it because he's an entertainer. But when you're just a man who sells insurance, I'm going to need you not to put doctor in front of your name.
Yeah.
Folks are in the chat room cracking me up. They talking about sanitation engineer, shirt doctor. Somebody said public relations officer. Somebody said public relations officer equals a Walmart greeter.
Wow. Wow.
Somebody else said a weed technician. Dwayne Davis said, I'm a money manager. Bitch, you a cashier. Y'all are so stupid. That's when I was like, remember we were talking about McDonald's one day. Oh, when I was talking about how people at McDonald's do not deserve to get paid $15 to $16 an hour, and I was getting cussed out by them fry cooks. It was going all off me. I said, look here, you damn French fry engineer. Quit damn texting me, emailing me, and all that shit. I saw him a French fry engineer. Everybody on Facebook was cracking up. He kept harassing me. I could go off to it. Leave me the hell alone. I still don't think you should get paid $15 an hour for fucking dropping fries. I don't care how you feel. Oh,
no,
he was talking right over the internet.
See, you didn't do them like that. I went through fry grease at your ass.
Yo, I was talking about Twitter. He didn't reply back. He just blocked me like this guy's crazy. So look here, you damn French fry engineer.
He
was so upset, and I'm like, dude, I understand it. Yes, I don't agree with anybody belittling people who work in fast food, being rude. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, they're doing the service. They're doing the job. But you're not going to have me co-sign with no foolishness that somebody at McDonald's with no degree, no nothing, should be making $15 an hour as opposed to somebody who went to school and has a degree, and you got folks with degrees who ain't even making $15 an hour. Like,
okay,
I mean, that's just logical. Oh, he was mad.
You have too big
of a fan base to be saying some mess like that. I've been working at McDonald's for 5 years. I mean, he was popping off. I was like, okay, I'm not going to be too many bitches and everything else. I was like, look here, you damn French fry engineer.
A French fry engineer.
Head chef in charge. Oh, my God.
I'm just a hamburger patty coordinator.
Ronan, how did you get blocked by the admin?
I hit
LOL.
Who's
the admin? I thought I was the admin. Oh, did you block people automatically?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm good. Hey, my first time.
Oh, my God, this chat room got me cracking up, I swear. Yes, they wanted $15 an hour. And he said, you ain't even told us what's in that special sauce.
I want to know.
No, Bill and I said, Chef de Cuisine at McDonald's. David said, bitch, you can't afford your rent, and then why working at McDonald's? Move. Yeah, that's the truth. You got to get something different. It's cool for a startup, but not for no permanent. It's not. They're not. You for real, they're just, it's getting worse out here with the economy. And you got to start thinking of other plans, other hustles, because McDonald's ain't trying to pay you 15, because they're not even trying to pay for we make in IT. They're trying to get rid of all our jobs and send them overseas, and it's crazy. It's a bunch of mess going on right now.
But people need to wake up and realize this is the time for the entrepreneur. Like, we can use our collective gifts and abilities to not just make money but create jobs, because, again, you're not going to take yourself overseas unless you got tickets for it. But most people are not thinking like that. Again, like, we have businesses that we can support, but we always rely on these companies who barely don't even really give a fuck about us. They really don't.
Yeah, you're not lying. There's somebody calling in. I think they've been on hold for a while. Let me go ahead and let them in real quick. Area code 225. I'm going to go ahead and let you in. 225.
What's your job at McDonald's?
Hello?
What's your job title at McDonald's?
Hello?
How you doing?
Hey,
man, Ronan is great.
I'm
at
McDonald's a day in my life.
He's a very good job. Man, what's your title? I'm the head chef. How you doing tonight?
Fine. How are y'all doing?
It's going good. We're in your town, and the chat room is popping. I see Enrique. Enrique just came. He's late. I'm blasting, Enrique.
CP time.
Anyway, what did you want to add to the conversation? Thank you for calling in.
Actually, I was just trying to listen to the show. And I've tried to listen online, but I don't know. Something keeps happening, keeps cutting off and stuff.
Okay.
But, yeah, I did have some really good points, though, definitely about, you know, like when you were saying, like, now is definitely time for entrepreneurs and stuff, because a lot of these jobs, what I've seen definitely in my area, I've seen where a lot of jobs are being cut in, like, different areas.
Can I get your name?
Crystal.
Crystal. Oh, okay, Crystal from the chat room.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see what Mr. X wrote. He said that you have a sexy voice. I just wanted to pass you that message.
Well, thank you.
The test is real. We're trying to make a love connection in the chat room. I'm just saying, Mr. X. But no, what you're saying is very true. It is to the point where we have to start thinking like entrepreneurs. Like, we need to stop depending on McDonald's and you know, whoever else. Because, I mean, like I told y'all, what was that, 2 weeks ago when we did the show, over 400 people at my company lost their job. We literally came in on a Thursday, and we had a huge meeting, and they're like, we had to let go of over 400 people. Your department is not affected as of now. So what does as of now mean? Does that mean in the future?
Wow.
You know what I mean? All our IT jobs will be shipped overseas? I don't know. They're already getting rid of some of our portfolios. You know, so it just has me thinking, like, I can't even rely on this. You know, so you have to start thinking like an entrepreneur. You have to start, you know, doing something. And usually online, I think, is one of, like, the best ways to make extra money and to do other things like that. But you're right. You know, with a lot of businesses going under and people getting laid off, it's really scary out here. Was there anything else you want to add, Crystal?
No.
Sure you don't want to be a small produce manager?
No.
He is such a mess. They are still going in. They're coming with all types of names for different jobs. Oh, my gosh. Somebody just said facilities coordinator equals Walmart, Wendy's mop floor cleaner. Lord have mercy.
Hey, Crystal. yes. Crystal, I want to ask you a question. What do you think should be done to not just improve the image as far as relationships, but like give people the confidence to be themselves and tell the truth to themselves and to other people?
Honestly, I feel we need more people putting out those type of images, more positive images. And okay. But what happens is the people who do that, they don't get enough credit for it.
Right.
At all.
So why do you think that is? Because I know even sometimes people will come at me and they'll say, oh, you need to make more positive videos. And I'm to the point now where, no. Because I've done that. And what happens is no one watches. But the same amount of time I had to put into a positive video is the same amount of time I put into some ratchet videos. So I think as a whole, society has to change their mindset. You get what I'm saying? And it's not just me.
Yeah.
You can go on any blog. If they put up a good story about, oh, you know, this black student, you know, is a 4.0 and graduated college, you'll see 4 comments, okay? Let them put up a story about Beyonce, 1,000 comments. Let them put up a story about light skin, dark skin, 1,000 comments. Let them put up a story about, you know, T.O. getting with a white girl, 1,000 comments.
Yeah.
So I think it's society, like, it's our mentality. It's not just black folks. I mean, that goes for white people, too. You know, you put up a story about Justin Bieber, all the white girls come out the woodwork. But then you put up something about, you know, this little girl is graduating high school 2 years early, no comments. So I think society's gotten to the point now where we like negativity, and we just, you know, drama is more interesting. Hence why these reality TV shows are flourishing. Or whatever the word is. But y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I see it. But just like everything, change is never easy. And once you start seeing change take place, like it's been told to me, and I've seen this time and time again, like it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. So when you start seeing people shutting off the TV and like not just only picking up a book, but going back outside and learn how to relate to each other, it may seem strange at first, but then like it can be fun again because a lot of people like to be included in stuff, even if they're a little bit nervous about it at first. So if you want to start a trend, you must start doing it the right way.
Right. That's the truth. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Crystal. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on hold, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. And if anybody else wants to call in, the number is 347-637-3635. And if you're trolling, you will get cussed out. So play with us if you want to. But, no, they're making a lot of good points in the chat room. Enrique's saying, I watch T, but you're right. Folks love ratchet videos. Saying black girl becomes the first president, you'll see one or two comments. But you put up a girl twerking to trampoline booty. I never heard that song.
Trampoline booty?
Trampoline booty. I'll come have to Google that one, Enrique. He said you'll get 10,000 likes and shares. Princeton is saying, well, T, I watch all your videos no matter what. You keep a level-headed with the world. I appreciate that. And MIB is saying success in the workforce is mainly reliant on networking, not academic achievement. Preach. Thank you. But you know what? When I say that, there's some people who get mad at my view on college, and I don't understand why they're mad. It's not like I'm telling kids not to go to college. I didn't understand, like, why I keep getting the same person who keeps emailing me mad anytime I talk about college. But I'm not saying, and I would never encourage anyone not to go to school. That's not what I'm saying. I've never said that. What I'm saying is that we need to stop wasting money, especially people of color, going to school for bullshit-ass degrees. No one gives a fuck how grasshoppers mate in the wild. You're not going to be able to find a job on grasshoppers in the real world. I mean, I'm just being real with y'all. There is no there's no money out there in that. You know, like, when I think about some of the stuff that I know people went to school for and they spent all this money, I mean, I know this one girl, she went to school for some type of aquatic. She wanted to study marine biology, you know, marine animals.
Yeah.
And she went to school in Florida, paid all this money. And we graduated years ago. And it sounded really cool. But fast forward 10 years, she's never worked as a marine biologist. She can't find a job as a marine biologist. You know, and it's sad because she spent all this money. So I would never tell anybody not to go to school, but I'm telling y'all, y'all got to start really researching and reading what jobs are in demand. And the main jobs that will never go away are healthcare jobs because people are always going to get sick. People are always going to get old. IT, computer, you know, the social media jobs are now like a really, really big thing. You have to look for things like that because there's nothing worse than wasting your time. And I've talked about this in other videos. You know, initially after I had my son, I was pressured to go back to school to go be a nurse. And that was the whole thing. I told y'all this before. I wanted to be a nurse to appease my mom because, you know, I got pregnant and, you know, she was, you know, my whole family was pissed off. I'm like, you know, I got to make it up to them. And so I went and I spent a year in nursing school and I hated it. I hated it. My heart wasn't in it. I was squeamish. I just didn't like it. I didn't like dealing with, you know, death. I was just too emotionally attached in situations. I couldn't handle the whole nursing thing. It just wasn't for me. So after wasting money, wasting a year, wasting all my time, I quit. And I didn't go to school for a long time. I was just like, I don't know what I want to do. I'm just going to, you know, work in corporate America. And I did finance. At that time, I had been doing finance for about 4 to 5 years. And then... And while in finance, you know, you network. It's about who you know. And I ran across this dude. He was a Q, matter of fact. And he was always telling me because I was always fixing little issues, you know, with the computers and, you know, just like little things that I knew. Like whatever I needed to do with my computer, I would read up on it and I'd fix it myself. And so he was like, you're pretty good with computers for a girl. And I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. And so he was like, why don't you think about going to school for computers? And I was like, well, I don't, like, what do you mean for computers? He's like, you can look into IT. There's a lot of different technical things you can do because you're a very technical person. And I said, oh, well, I never really thought about that. And I just started looking up technical jobs. Now he was like, you don't have to go to school for 4 or 5 years. I'm like, I don't have the time. I got kids. I'm married. It's a bunch of work. It's enough just working here. He was like, you can, you know, go to school from home. You can go to a certification school, a trade school. And then I just started researching, and that's what I did. And there are always going to be jobs in the computer field. And because I ended up getting certified, then I was able at my job to, if I want to now, if I want to go with my job, have them pay tuition reimbursement to get a degree if I feel like getting an IT degree. Not interested in getting the degree, though. I'd rather just keep my certs up and get certified because once it's cheaper, I don't have to worry about student loans or anything like that. So that's my thing. You just have to find something that you're good at. Let's say you're good at art. Nothing wrong with that. But there's not going to be a lot of money in art, you know, like art degrees. So what you can look at is maybe doing graphic design because there is money in graphic design, website building. So if you're very artistic, kind of turn into something technical. Or even if you're really artistic, maybe think about getting into tattooing and owning your own tattoo shop. So sometimes you got to take certain things and then just kind of flip it around and make it work for you. So just different things to think about. But I just get really sad when I just see people that I know who went to school and they spent all this money, especially on business degrees. I think business degrees are some of the most overrated degrees. If you're going to business for yourself, then it's worth it. But if you have no plans on going to business for yourself, why spend $30,000? Why get yourself into all this debt to go work for somebody else? That was the whole point of you going to go get a business degree is so you can work for yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I agree. Especially with the business degree thing, they've been always trying to get me to do all that. And I was like, look, That's not my thing. And besides, they're like some classes you can take at certain schools that are cheap. I mean, you can just pay a certain amount, probably under $100 for a course that'll probably get you further than what those other schools trying to get you to waste tuition money on. Because a lot of it's just like you end up taking on some bullshit electives and just something to make the curriculum look credible. But then, like, a lot of times, like, when you get out there, you find out quite a few times that you wasted your time, because nowadays it's like, it's not just what you know, is a lot more of who you know nowadays. Because they'll grandfather people in who don't even know half the shit you know. So, and plus, like, well, graphic design, which I go for, is they don't teach you to do freelance or anything like that. They teach you how to work as basically a corporate bitch. And they don't teach you how to maintain your business or anything. That's why a lot of stuff I had to, I'm learning on my own, like more research from school. So, a lot of times it all depends. I mean, with a trade, that I mean, like something like as far as like being an electrician or IT or anything with heating and cooling, things of that nature. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of credible training in that because like there's a high demand for it, and you're less likely to go overseas unless it's over IT depending, but. As far as, like, you know, other trades or what you love to do, sometimes you have to learn to think about what can you learn for yourself to be your own boss. You might have to wear a few more hats, but it's better for you to eventually learn how to run your own business rather than bust your ass and invest your time to get a company pin or something minute for your time.
Right. And they're making a lot of really good comments in the chat room, too. A few people are looking at different tech schools. MIB is saying don't go to ITT Tech because it's very expensive. He's also saying Google hires from UCLA, not tech schools. I'm trying to work for damn Apple. Next, Mr. X is saying I got a GED, good enough for me diploma. Yes, yeah. Knew that's what it stood for.
Well, it is good enough.
Yeah.
If you think about it, GEDs, I mean, there's some CEOs who made their own business and they didn't finish school. And not to say, you know, people should drop out or something like that, but some people are a lot smarter than the halls of miseducation out there. They teach you certain things that most of the stuff you don't even apply out in the real world. But if you know how to be an entrepreneur, if you know how to market, if you know how to, like, basically sell, because when it comes to business, you're basically selling people on you. Your product is the extension of your faith in what you are selling. If you don't believe in the shit you're selling, then you'll never make any money. So that's when it comes down, you go to the library, or you can go to Barnes and Nobles. If someone was looking to freelance, I'd rather them go to the bookstore and invest in themselves, get all the books and everything you need, and teach yourself. I mean, again, it's about how bad you want it. While you're working, you dedicate some time to get good at your craft, and then you go get your stuff patented. Or you go to the copyright and everything, get your DBA, everything like that. And,
There's so much information out here.
There's so much information out there, but a lot of people say, well, that's a lot of work. Well, think about all that money you make. Okay, you get a diploma from your certificate from an illustrious school, but look at the anchor of debt you got to drag around for years. And then if you're married or if you have kids or you have other bills you got to take care of, it's better if you really invest yourself wisely, because you have to look into these schools. A lot of them just want to get you in there as a numbers game. And they're all sweet, nice to you on the phone. And, yeah, you can be a part of the team. And sure, you get in there, they act like, yeah, I ain't know you.
Right. It is. It's a hustle. And that's what a lot of folks are saying in the chat room. You know, VH1X is saying it's all about connections and who you know. Fashionable Chick is talking about group economics, which is definitely very important. Bill Leonard is trying to be a street pharmacist. We're going to pray for you, bro. MIB is saying that college lending institutions, government equal a money racket, and I definitely believe in that because me and somebody was having a conversation on that video I had made about them doing the whole Beyonce course. And, when you have courses on Beyonce, and people are like, well, this course is on Tupac, and you weren't mad. I'm a Tupac fan. Everybody knows I'm a big old Tupac fan. But I'll be damned if I pay some money out of my pocket to go learn some shit about Tupac that I can't find on the Internet. Come on now. If I want to have a discussion about Tupac, we can have a whole hour show where I can have all my subscribers come. We all talk about Tupac. I don't need to pay nobody, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 for some mess like that. And at the end of the day, when you come about that class, how can you apply that towards your degree? That's my thing. Whatever elective you take, it should be something that can make you more knowledgeable towards what you're trying to pursue in the future. And when you have colleges just coming up with these janky classes on celebrities and folks are rushing to take these classes, you can't tell me that it's not a hustle. It's like everybody's getting accepted. And when you think about it, too, a lot of these so-called classes that they have now, you didn't need to be certified back in the day. It seems like everything now they want to make a certification for. I was at the little technical college because I wanted to get some more information on doing pamphlets for doing the new CS6. So I wanted to get certified for the CS6 suite, which is an Adobe program for like Photoshop, InDesign, all that graphic stuff. So as I'm going through there for the certifications, I'm sitting here like, why do I need to be certified for this? Why can't somebody just sit and teach me this? I'm looking through the other stuff. You need a certification for, you know, HVAC and just all types of basic stuff. They had stuff, certifications for Microsoft Word, certification for Microsoft Office. And, you know, these classes are like $300. These are not free classes. So it's just like, why does everything need a cert when these are the same jobs 20 years ago that you literally got apprenticed in? Somebody took you by the wing. It might have been your father. It might have been your uncle. And they said, you know what? I'm an electrician. I'm going to show you the ropes. I'm going to show you everything I know. Not everything is you have to go to school. You have to get a degree. But these same degrees, like to be a plumber, to be a carpenter, those are just things that you learned. That was like the family business that was passed down from generation to generation. Now we're having to pay thousands of dollars to do something that somebody has, you know, for somebody standing in front of the classroom and just preach to you about, you know, how to do something, when a lot of that stuff what you're learning in the classroom, it's hard to retain it because a lot of that stuff you have to be able to really apply it in the real world. So it's like a lot of things I learned in the classroom with IT, it was like whatever, because once I got into the field, it was something totally different any damn way. Because stuff changes like at the drop of a dime. So to me, it makes more sense to get that hands-on experience as opposed to just sitting just solely in the classroom. And I just feel like it is. It's just really a hustle, and it's sad. It just really is.
It is. A lot of times, like when they have the, you always have either issues with the tuition or with the counselors, or they keep sending you a pipe dream, like, yeah, we're gonna have you this job waiting on you, and you're gonna do this internship, and they're going to streamline you in there. And most times they don't. I mean, I had a guidance counselor sit there and tell me, 8 out of 10 of your peers are not being hired in this profession. What makes you different? And I was like, first of all, I'm not them. Second, I'm learning everything else that you guys aren't teaching me. So, you know, again, who are you to tell me if I'm going to be a success or not? I determine that. And they didn't like the fact that since the instructor decided to blatantly pick his select few, his teacher's pets, and teach them all kind of other stuff, me and the others went to the classroom, and I showed a lot of the my peers what I learned on my own. And there was a lot of division with that because ever since they took the credible teachers who didn't have a bachelor's and got rid of them, the curriculum started to suck. So something had to happen. And ever since they told me, ever since I found out that Westwood at the time wasn't accredited, I quit. I already have, like, on my transcript, well over 120-something credits. What?
Yeah. It's a trip. We have a lot of calls on hold. I'm going to start letting some people in. Looks like area code 310. They've been on hold for a while. 310, you're on the line with Table Talk with T.
Hello?
Hi. 310?
Hi.
Hello, who is this?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I was just calling in. Hold on. I'm on the phone. Sorry, you have my kids.
Oh, that's okay. Who is this?
My name is Angel.
How you doing, Angel?
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I just wanted to call. You're making some very good points, and I always watch your show and I always watch your YouTube videos. And I think that based on what you guys are talking about, that people really do need to wake up, and especially a lot of people that look like you and me, they need to study like group economics, and they need to start creating their own jobs instead of waiting for these corporations or anyone else to give them a job. And it could be something very simple, like removing the snow. You know, that thing that happened in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They could, you know, people could, you just got to think, you know, think of little things that you could do, start up, and it don't cost much at all. You probably got a shovel in your garage, you know. You just got to think and see what works. And just try. A lot of people don't even want to try to do the research.
Right. You know what, Angela, what you're saying is very true, because the young man who comes and he shovels my driveway, he's about 24 years old. He bought a truck this winter. He said that he felt there was going to be a lot of snow, and he was damn right. He invested this summer. He told me he broke it down when he came over here. He went and invested, white boy, okay, went and invested in a truck, in a plow truck. He said everybody thought he was crazy, and why are you going to invest in a plow truck? That boy is making 25 bucks every time it snows per house. And when I tell you he goes to dang near every house in this neighborhood, oh, he's getting paid this winter. He made that money back from that truck and some. And you're so right. We have to think outside the box. And there's too many people out here thinking that they're too good to get out here and start from the bottom. Everybody wants something handed to them. Folks don't want to work for it. They want you to hook them up. And I think that's where we mess up sometimes as people of color. You know, we always want to take the shortcut, the easiest route. And everything in life ain't easy. Sometimes you got to start from the bottom and really work your way up. So I'm glad you made that comment about the snow, because there's a young man out here, he's making buku money on this block.
Yeah, and if people just think and just look at their surroundings, they might not be in the best neighborhood. It might not be a lot of corporations, but look around your area, see what's needed. Maybe you got a lot of elderly people around your area. Maybe you got a lot of single mothers that might need help with daycare, starting something simple as that, you know. Just think, you know, and see what people need, you know, or what's necessary, and just think and put it to you. It's real simple. I just joined this group on Facebook. It was also mentioned in the chat room of the Business Assistance Program Group Economics.
Okay.
And it looks like this program will eventually probably start funding people that need businesses. I didn't really look into it a whole bunch, but I just hurry up and went there and just, you know, joined the group. But just think, you know, and just utilize your brain. I mean, there's so many things, especially the people that are buying Jordans. They're buying all these, these things that don't mean nothing. All they got, I mean, go get your own shoes and make it so simple. They just don't want to do it. Like, they'd rather just buy from someone else. And they're spending over the price, you know, over the money that it costs just to even make it, you know? So,
no, actually, when it comes to the shoes, when they make them overseas, they make, like, less than $5 a pair. That's all it takes to make those.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. We out here killing them.
You know what else, too? Because I'm actually – because I want to spend, and not to make it a race thing, but I'm ready. I want to spend my money at a black grocery store. I want to go to a black-owned gas station. I don't want to just go to a boutique or a beauty salon. You know, there's so many other things, you know, mowing the lawn. I mean, it's just so many things. I can just look around my house and, you know, carpet clean. You know, so many
in the chat room, Bill O'Nerd is saying that weave is, you know, very lucrative. And if we could find some way to get into that market, being that black folks are the biggest dang on consumers of hair weave, I mean, it makes no sense how much we consume. We're like Dr. Clyde Anderson, I had posted the video. I don't know if you got a chance to check it. I had posted on my Facebook page. And this is what I'm saying about when I post something positive. Do y'all know I already had 2 thumbs up and 2 comments, okay?
Yeah.
And this was a very deep lecture when I tell you, Angel. He was breaking down group economics, what we can do to get ourselves out of poverty. Dr. Clyde Anderson, if y'all don't know who he is, Google him. He has amazing speeches. Yes, on YouTube. He's a very conscious dude, but he's very, very realistic, very, very honest on what black folks need to do to get out of their situation. He's giving real solutions, okay? Now, again, I posted that video just the other day. Till this day, that video got 2 thumbs up and 2 views. But now let me post somebody acting ratchet, 1,000 comments, 50 million shares. You know, so like we were saying earlier, we have to change our mentality. You know, if we want to do better, we have to start changing the way we think and the way we see things. You know, because like you said, we'll spend money on Jordans. We say that we buy stuff to front for people that we don't like who don't give a damn about us. And we have to change that mentality.
Well, here's something I want to put out there for everyone to sit there and let marinate. Every year, black folks spend $507 billion.
Mm.
Now, where is that money going? That's funding other people's legacies outside of ours. If we actually manage the money that we spend, had money bounce around at least 8 to 10 to 12 times out here, then think about how we'd be living as a people. We wouldn't have to be living at the projects. We'd be making construction projects. We'd be having condos like nothing crazy. I mean, like, we would have our own strip malls. We'd have all kind of other stuff. But a lot of people, again, some older ones even, they're terrified of having another Black Wall Street situation where you actually had the government send in people and bomb the shit out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where that area was about to be the network. I mean, it was really the heartbeat of global
Black economic
trade,
power, right?
Everything.
Right. And sadly,
they weren't trying
a lot
to have
of
that.
People don't know about that. A lot of folks don't even know about Black Wall Street. Yes, it did exist.
Oh.
It wasn't just some shit that Nas and them made up.
Yeah.
No, it was a real Black Wall Street where we were handling our business, and, you know, it got destroyed by jealous outsiders, basically. And there's nothing that we could do once that city got bombed and everything else. But it was the economic power force in America. And because it was ran by black folks, they weren't having that. And that's why a lot of older people to this day say that segregation was not a good thing for the black community. And Dr. Claude Anderson made a very good point. You can't even get mad at white people for segregation, for desegregation, because they didn't want it. They didn't want black kids to go to school with their kids. They were very against it. It was us who were pushing to be segregated and, you know, wanting everything to be equal and stuff like that. But what that did, it also hurt the black community because it took the best of the best outside of our community. Because once people were able to, you know, leave the hood and, you know, leave where the black folks were, all the black businesses and the black doctors and the best of the best also left. So you had the people who were weaker, who didn't really have many goals, you know, they were kind of left to their own vices. So that's why sometimes people say that segregation hurt more than it helped, you know. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. We still have a bunch of other calls on the line. Lots of good comments being made in the chat room as well. I'm going to go ahead. Thank you, Angel, for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and let in area code 409. Area code 409, you're on the line with Table Talk with T.
Hello.
How you
doing? Hey.
Who is this?
Leanne,
how you doing, Leanne?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good. Yeah. About the whole education thing, I have a friend.
Oh, this is Leanne from Texas.
How do you know?
Because I'm a black fan. I know my subscribers.
Yeah, I know. I got some Texas. I think I talked to you like a year ago or something.
Yeah, we were talking about Papa John when you were talking about your family, your friends.
Yeah,
I got a good memory. I don't forget nothing.
Mom worked at Papa John's.
Yep. I remember your accent.
I remember talking to you about that a long time ago.
Yep. How you been?
I've been okay.
That's good. So what did you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah, well, about the whole education thing, like, a lot of my friends, like, graduated or dropped out and got the GED. Well, most of them have been out of school for, like, a year or two now, and most of them only work in, like, there was sweat on my phone, but most of them only work in, like, fast food or a gas station. Like, I have this friend who's a young mom, and she works at a gas station, and it's, like, a thing for high schoolers who want to become nurses. She was in that when she was in high school, hosting Leo, but she got pregnant, so she couldn't go to college because she didn't have the money. But she said she wanted to go to college now, at a two-deal college, and her boyfriend was supposed to go to college, but he works for Walmart, but as soon as he was about to go to college, they fired him, so I don't know why, but she was saying how it's, like, really expensive and everything, and I have another friend who goes to college, and her mom helps with college, she pays, like, $500, yeah, I think it was a semester for college, and hopefully she would talk about it to me on Facebook saying how it's, like, $250 to, like, $300 for a book. And I told her,
I said,
just go to Amazon and get a book. I don't remember how much the books were, but I'm all like, just go to Amazon and get a book for you.
No.
So, go to
it's a hustle.
School. There's, like, a little bookstore where you can get books used. And she was saying how the teachers wanted the books new.
Right. No, Leanne, she's telling the truth. It's a hustle. What they do is, Now, this is why I tell y'all, I have to look at the big picture. When colleges put so much effort into revising a book so that way you can't put it on Amazon, you can't sell it on eBay, you can't pass it down to a friend, they want their money. When I went to go take those certification classes, the ones that I went to go take just last year to get recertified, I had to spend over $200 on books. And
that's
so I'm like, well, goodness. Right. So I said, well, let me just look on eBay. Let me just look on Amazon. Nope. You have to get this specific version. That book had just come out 2 months before that. And if you look again, if you go, like, let's say 6 months later, they'll revise it and put out a new version. Like, they do that so that way you can't just hand the book over or give it to a friend. So it is. It's the hustle. It's really sad because those books are extremely expensive. And they revise them so much that after a while, all the knowledge that was in the first book, it's not even worthy as much because now they've revised it, and now you have to get the updated version in the next book. So,
you only use the book, like, once or twice for, like, the whole semester. You barely even use it. And I'm like, why do you have to pay that much money if you're barely ever going to use it? Because I was telling her, because she was saying how when she was in high school, she got the books for free. I'm all like, well, in high school, it's government-funded, so that's why you get the books for free. In college, but not, so that's why you have to pay.
Yeah, college is totally different. I mean, I remember my first day of college, I was in tears because it was so different from high school, you know, and it was just like I had to call my mother-in-law, and I was like, you have to come get me. Like, this is just, it was just so overwhelming, and the teachers were not as nice. And, you know, just trying to figure out your books, and I didn't have enough money, and I needed this workbook, and it was an extra $60, and I just didn't have the money, you know, and it was just a lot. It's very different. And that's why I tell a lot of people, too, like, if you know that your child is not ready yet for Facebook. See, that's why I can't fool with you there. I'm reading his comment, talking about for Facebook. If you know your child is not ready for college as a parent, don't push them. Because all you're going to do is get yourself frustrated, get them frustrated, and y'all going to waste a whole bunch of money. Make sure that child knows what they want to do. Make sure they're passionate about it. And make sure that they can hang with college because it's no joke. It's not high school. Nobody gives a damn if you have ADHD. Nobody gives a damn if you take Ritalin. Once you are in college, you are grown and you're expected to act accordingly. No one's about to baby you, pamper you. There is no go to the principal's office. You want to act up, you're kicked out of school, you will not get a refund. So I think you should send your kids when they are definitely ready.
My dad works at a university, and he's a professor, so I kind of already know this stuff because he said how he was telling me. He's saying how it's not high school. He said they don't care. He said, like, I kind of stuttered, but he says not like high school. He said there's no principal, and he said that if you act up, he said you just get kicked out of the class. Like, he said, I'd do that to students before if they act up. And, like, if you fail, then you just lose all that money. And I have friends in college, and they said it's the same thing. There's no principal you go to. And they don't care if you have Ritalin or ADHD. If you fail, you fail.
Yeah, there is no, can I retake it? I need extra help. You know, some teachers
are
willing to help you, but, it's very different. It was very overwhelming for me. When I tell y'all my first day of school, I was in tears. It was too much. It was so different from high school. You know, everybody was just real stone-faced. You didn't get to see your friends. Like, yo, what you wearing, girl? I got this on. And You know, I was like, come and pick me up. I need to, we're going to do this again tomorrow.
So I don't know how that makes sense in my school, though. So I just want to
Are you still in high school?
Gone. What?
Are you in, you're still in high school? You're a senior this year?
I'm graduating in June, and I'm going to college in August.
All right, Leanne. I feel like I done grew up with some of y'all. Graduating.
Yeah, and I was talking to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking because I was at his job for some reason because I think I had to go get something, so he brought me up there. And he was asking, being like, because we talk about college because it's in 6 months, and I have to go take the SAT because I was supposed to go take it last month, but it got canceled. So because the weather, because where I live, it doesn't snow or ice. Well, it did that day, so I had to stay home. Because we went up to the school where I was going to take the test, and they had a sign saying I was canceled. So I'm kind of like, okay, then I'll just call the school and ask when I'm going to take it. Because it's a different school. It's a school right by me. So I'm taking it this month, and then I have to go and apply to the school my dad works at because I'm going to that school. And, yeah, and we were talking about that and everything, and he was all like, well, asking about, like, me taking a semester off because I have a friend that wants to do that, asking if I want to take a semester off because he said, I was just wondering because you haven't said anything about it. I'm all like, I'll just, you know, go in August because, like, what am I going to be doing if I'm not going to be in school? I'm just going to be working.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you're ready to go, definitely go. You know, if you don't want to get to the point where you get too comfortable and then, you know, 2 years have passed and it's like, oh, my God, I got to, you know, get back in the swing of things. So, I mean, if you're if you're ready to go and, you know, your grades are on point, definitely just make that transition. Because I had to take a year off after high school before I started college because I had a baby. And then when I started college, my son was like 5 months old. So I had to take that time off. But, yeah, if you don't have to, then definitely, you know, just transition smoothly. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and let a few other people in because we still have a lot. We have a lot of callers on the line. But thank you for calling. It was really good to hear from you, okay?
Me too.
All right. Have a good night. I'm going to place you back on hold. I'm going to go ahead and let in area code 212-212. You're on the line with Table Talk with T.
Hello?
Hi. Hello.
Hey, what's up, T? How you doing?
I'm good. Ooh, we finally got a guy. Ooh, a hey.
Oh, man.
T's being real thirsty right now. Who is this?
My name is Cliff.
What's up?
How you doing? Hey, listen, first of all, I usually ride with you, but there's certain things I just can't agree with you on. And first is this thing about education being a hustle. I think education is its own reward in the first place. And if you go into a college with the mindset that you're going to finish no matter what happens, then it's going to be a positive experience for you in the end, no matter what happens to you. Now, I guess that's like anything else in life. But especially, and you know, I think you could probably appreciate this because when you're an immigrant, there's a lot of pressure on you, you know, and nobody accomplishes anything in this life without pressure. And I realized that as an African-American that my parents didn't pressure me. You know, my father's African-American, but he had a girlfriend, and she was from Grenada. And she pushed her son, and he was a doctor. And he came and saw me one summer. We hung out one summer. And he was like, yo, you need to think about becoming a doctor. You need to think about becoming a doctor. You need to think about becoming a doctor. And what did I do? I became a security guard. That was a joke, but it's true, though. And I think that you got to have pressure. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was that as much as we talk about economics in the black community in this country, the one single thing that is destroying the future of the black people is people not having children, people having children before they're economically ready. You cannot have a child at 18 and think, I mean, you know, you're an anomaly, but usually when you have a kid when you're young, you're not going nowhere, especially if you're a man, because ain't nobody trying to help you out. You know, the government has all these programs for mothers and all these programs for kids, but the father, yo, fuck you, pay me. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about in the child support system. Oh, well, hey, listen, you had all these great plans. That's fine. Where's the child support? You got to live with your mother on her couch? Oh, well, that's okay. Sorry. Where's the money? And you can't get nowhere. How you getting any place, paying 17 and 25% of your paycheck, of your take home, and you want to go to college? You can't.
No, I don't agree with that. I think you still can. Because, again, like you said, it's all about what you want to do. I mean,
that's
it can
true.
Be hard, yes, if you're paying child support, but if your goal is to go to college and better yourself, then you use that kid as a motivator. You don't use that kid as a crutch like, oh, well, it's me, my life is over now because I have a kid.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, my daughter's turning 18 next month, and I went to college. You know, I went to college, and I was paying child support. But my thing is that my daughter's mom's was cool, you know, and I had been in the service, so I was getting GI Bill money too. But, but you know what I'm saying? She could have took me to court. She could have screwed me and waited 5 years and then took me to court and make me pay all that other money that I was paying. But, you know, I didn't pay through the child support system and then child support. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people do that. But what I'm saying to you is that, I haven't gone to grad school like I want to because now my daughter's older and, you know, there's more expenses. So, you know, and then I have to worry about her going to college next year because she wants to go. So, you know, I had to put myself on hold. But what I'm saying is, generally, better yet, if I had waited 10 years to have my daughter, her life would have been much better because I would have been, I'd have gone to college already. I would have finished college and then gone to grad school and then had her. And she'd have been better off financially anyway. You get what I'm saying? But I think that it's robbed. I think that we need to disabuse. We need to stop having children. Our kids think that it's okay to have kids when they're young. Now I don't want to be beating down some girl that's pregnant. But before you get pregnant, you should be there should be a lot of pressure on people not to get pregnant. Don't get that girl pregnant. Wear that condom. Because you're not going to have any freedom after the baby's born. Your life is not going to be about you when you have a kid. It's going to be about that baby. You know, it's going to be like, yo, fuck you. How come you're not taking care of your kid? It should be that. That's the kind of pressure we should be putting on people, as opposed to, well, if you have a kid, it's okay. You know, this program so the kid can eat and we'll have a place for you to live. And that's bullshit.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, it should be like.
I mean, that's the thing. We live in a society that rewards nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Like, why should anybody be rewarded with a TV show like 16 and Pregnant or Teen Mom because you got pregnant? Why are we not rewarding the girls who didn't get pregnant? I mean, I've said that numerous times. You know, I'm always the opposite. My thing is, we all make mistakes. So I think for people, you need to look at other people's mistakes. And look at it like, okay, fine, I don't want to go. Right, learn from them. I think that's the best teacher is other people's mistakes. And I think a lot of times, too, there's no more accountability. There's no more shame. There's no more nothing. You know, like I even said before on the show, when I got pregnant, it was an embarrassment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never wanted kids. It was just like, dang, what the hell? You didn't tote that probably. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, okay, fine, you got to figure out what you're going to do with your life. You got to get back on track. Now it's like, you got girls in the mirror, five girls, all the same age, pregnant bellies. It's like it's just seen as acceptable in the norm nowadays, and I definitely agree with you. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be because it's not easy. And like you said, I don't know if I'm the anomaly. You know, I'm sure there's other girls who have, you know, had kids young and handled their business. I don't know. But I understand there's a lot of girls who had kids young, and they're just shitty parents, and their kids are suffering in that same cycle, you know. And I think that, as women, we talked about this last week, too, that you'll have some women because they made mistakes in their lives, and it's almost like they want to see other young girls make those same mistakes. So instead of talking to them and being that positive female influence and saying, you know what, don't have a baby young. Do it this way. Find a good man. You know what I'm saying? Get married. Do the right thing. They'll just be like, oh, just do you. You don't need no man. You a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit. And like I told the girls last week, if you got a woman in your ear screaming that independent woman shit to you, cut her ass off. That's a bitter woman who wants you to grow bitter and old because she ain't got nothing. And
yeah,
that's the thing. We got to look at people's situations and see, you know what I'm saying, is what they're saying mirroring their life.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like, okay,
right.
You're so happy and independent. Okay, but does she have her own home? Does she have a car? Is she handling her business as a person?
Right.
You know, where's all this independent stuff? You can't scream independent, you getting damn welfare.
Yeah,
you can't scream independent, you want Section 8. You can't scream independent, it's a dick and dude around your child every 6 months.
Struggling.
So I think people need to start calling folks out on a lot of their bullshit, men and women.
Yeah, true that. And also, if you want to talk about a hustle, this whole child support system thing is a hustle.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, yo, how the hell, you know, my daughter's mom, she decided she wanted to get on welfare. Now, I was working. I had a decent job. And I was telling her, listen, you can put the baby on my medical insurance because it wasn't going to cost me anything. But she wanted some money. So she went on welfare. And I'm telling her, listen, and I'm paying her child support, too. So she, you know, she getting both. So, so welfare, you know, they finally caught up with me, and they took me to court. And while I'm in court, yo, they treat me like, no, child support is supposed to be a civil matter, right? I'm supposed to be going to civil court. These motherfuckers is treating me like I just got finished shooting somebody. I feel like I was in the army again. Motherfuckers barking at me and shit. You know, I got to walk
that's in like you're a terrible dad,
not...
even though you've been there from jump. Yep.
Yeah,
I get the emails from guys all over the country. There's definitely a hustle. And I talked about this on my show last year, you know, and I feel for the guys because you have a lot of women who do that on some bitter stuff. And then you have women who feel like they don't realize what you were doing for her was a lot more than what the county would have done for her. I think a lot of girls don't realize that they have older women in their ear saying stupid shit like, oh, well, you'll get free food stamps, but you're giving her $500 a month cash that she should be able to balance for food and everything for her child. But somebody's in her ear talking about, oh, well, you'll get $400 worth of food stamps, and then you'll get additional, you know, X amount of cash plus Medicaid. And girls are not realizing that it's better to have the father there in their life taking care of that child, doing what they're supposed to do, than putting them in the system.
Yeah, well, she, you know, like I said, she's cool now, and she, you know, she was young, so I guess she realized it. Cause me and my daughter have a relationship, and in other instances, you know, you hear about like basketball players, you know, going to the court, and there's a woman there, and he never even met her before, and she told me she, you know, the test is positive. You know what I'm saying? Like someone took the condom and I guess a lot of women, you know, they think, oh, I'm gonna get some money. But my thing is, yo, I don't care what anybody says. I don't think that anybody should have to go to jail because they didn't pay child support. I'm sorry. Nothing pisses me off as a father who pays child support every month. Hearing about a guy who doesn't pay it. But what do you accomplish by putting somebody in jail?
Breaking
I don't understand.
Up the family.
That. Yeah,
breaking
well
up
that
the family.
Too, that too, and not only that, but you didn't. Here you are, you're putting somebody in a system, denying him of his freedom. I don't understand that. I really
well,
don't.
Well,
aside
ahead,
from
bro,
breaking up the family, aside from breaking up the family, they've already said that. By the third grade, they already have a cell made out for that child, especially a male one.
Again,
it's all about, in their way, it's an investment with the investment of our time into our kids. If we don't teach them how to be productive citizens, how to stay out of trouble, how to try to keep their nose clean, especially in this crazy world out here, you got
that
so-called strong and independent family structure, which deprives the children of balance and even a sense of self a lot
listen,
of times.
Listen to you tap dancing around the around what you want to say. Bringing a father out the family, right? Strongly independent
women. I'm gonna tap dance around it. I know.
All right.
No,
I
know the exact.
I
know the exact thing of it. I mean, there's again, it's like it goes already back to the basics out there. When people are dealing with each other, they don't talk unedited to each other. They like have this wine cooler intuition. And it's like, I like this person. This person,
right,
you know,
right.
has, you know, this color eyes, or, you know, we could make a pretty baby and all kind of stupid shit. But
yeah.
then, like, they're not talking about legacy building. They're not talking about
yes.
how much it's going to cost to build
yes.
a family. They're not talking about what
yes.
they could teach a family. They're not yes. talking about, as a matter of fact, they don't even show you where they came from. Because
right.
if any time you're dealing with somebody, there was a time where, look, I want to see what the family's about and see
right.
what I'm dealing with, because
right,
some
right,
issues
right.
are generational. So
right.
that's why when you have a lot of blowholes nowadays where a guy just goes down the street, blows a horn, she's out.
Yeah, yo, you know what's funny is that I used to be friends with these chicks in Harlem. And these chicks,
yeah.
And they were pretty. They were from Belize, real pretty girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, these cats will come up, this is in the 80s, come in the Jeep, honk their horn, and they be out.
Yeah.
I went to, you know, I was
yeah.
in the Army. I come home on leave, both these chicks is pregnant. By who?
Yeah.
Oh, were they in jail?
Yeah.
Which brings me to another point, and I know I'm hogging a lot of time up, but something happened to me a couple of
you
years ago.
You make it a good point. You make it a good
yeah.
point.
One day, I was in my house, and these cats knocked on my door, right? Somebody's knocking on my door in the middle of the summer. It was like maybe like 95 degrees outside. So I open the door up, and there's these three cats standing there talking about somebody threw water at them out their window. I'm
wow.
like, yo, I'm 43 years old. I ain't got no time to be throwing water out my window at anybody.
Uh-huh.
But here's my point. Somebody did something to these guys that they could have easily just, you know, brushed off, but they felt obligated to come up and knock on my door. And, you know, and I tried to explain to them, listen, you don't know who's behind this door. You know, I could have had a, if I threw some water out my window and somebody's knocking on my door and I have a gun, I'm coming to the door with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already know you're knocking on my door because of what I did. What I'm trying to say
right.
is that it's so easy for these young kids, because they don't have any direction,
right.
you know, to you know, because what would have happened? If I'd have threw the water out, they would have beat me down. My neighbors would have called the police. They would have got arrested. And this is something they could have easily just said, you know what? This is not, you know, this ain't even worth it. And this is where father comes in. Because, and brother, I know you can attest to this. People
yeah.
do so much stupid shit to you every single day. I don't know where you live, but I live here in New York. People
yeah.
do so much stupid shit, and they don't think about what they're doing. And if I was to call somebody on every stupid thing that they did, I would never get any rest, and I'd be in prison for about 100 and something years.
Right.
Right.
Because people, you know, and because you may be thinking, but this person isn't. And let's be honest, there's a lot of undiagnosed mental illness in our community.
That's
and just
the
because
other
part. Just because somebody looks like they're healthy, you know, don't mean that they're mentally healthy.
Right.
Oh, that's the other part that
it.
They don't really talk about. It's always been with conversations, like, it's always been that whole thing about what happens in this house stays in this house.
Right.
But it
right,
never
right.
gets addressed. So when
right.
that person leaves out the house, as far as, like, getting married or eloping or whatever they do, they spread that undiagnosed chaos into, you know, the relationship. And, again, when you have children, the children takes on certain traits. I mean, child might be bipolar or all kind of crazy stuff. And we don't even talk about that stuff. That's the problem with, you know, having sex with somebody. Y'all have to have that real in-depth conversation of
yeah.
what y'all really getting into. This, if you see, because I've
right.
seen it myself, I've seen three generations of screwed up women. I said, if I marry this chick, my kids are going to be all fucked up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can't
see,
do
I knew,
it.
I knew these. I knew this one girl who, and she was cute. She was a cute little brown skin chick, but her and her mom's, I think she must have had like five daughters, and they were all like in jail dealing with, you know, drug dealers, and there was one, she, you know, one was a cop, but everybody else, the rest of the four was all fucked up. And I was like, yo, I can't be messing around with that. And, you know, they, moms was in the projects, and they all looking for, they all trying to get project, you know, project apartments.
Yeah.
Nah, I was like, yo, so I definitely know where you're coming from with that. But, hey.
Now, let me also bring this up, too, because I know, you know, a lot of people talk about mental illness, and I agree it is rampant in our community and something we don't like to talk about. But I think even mental illness aside, I think a lot of our kids just don't have any emotional self-control.
Oh,
and people don't
definitely
talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
So you have a lot of women out here, especially single mothers, and it's almost like the roles have been reversed. You have the guys out here acting like straight-up bitches. You have the women out here screaming they're independent, they think they're men. You know, you have the women out here going out to go to work, and the man is at home playing Xbox all day.
Man.
I just don't get that dynamic, but I see so many women in this situation. And I'll be damned. I got to give myself before I get up, and I'm busting my ass. You get my kids ready, and I'm getting out to work. And the Madden King is sitting in my living room all day, every day. It's not that serious. You have a lot of low self-esteem people, they're not teaching their kids, especially their male sons. And to be honest with you, and it's not no disrespect towards Trayvon Martin at all, because that whole situation was a tragedy, but that is a perfect example of not having any emotional self-control.
Yeah, definitely.
When you guys
definitely
think about that situation, how he was so ready to fight, because that's how a lot of us are as black people, myself included. I've calmed down with age, but that's how a lot of us are. We're so quick to fight. We're
true
so quick
that
to, you know, argue, pop off, you know. And if a lot of us had a lot of, you know, a lot of self-control and weren't so emotional at the most pettiest shit, somebody stepping on your shoes, somebody looking at you crazy, you know how many homeboys I would have who would still be here to this day? I have so many friends who just been killed over the stupidest shit.
Yep.
I mean, I went to 11 funerals my junior and senior year of high school.
Damn.
Shit.
When I was 16, 17, 11 different people that I known who lost their lives. And when you think about it now, what the hell did they die for?
Stupid shit.
Stuff that really, if they could go back, hindsight is 2020, if they could go back and talk about it, they probably would, you know, as grown men, apologize to each other.
So I think
that's something we need to talk about. Let's don't talk about it. We don't talk about emotional self-control. It's quicker to say mental illness. Everybody out here ain't fucking mentally ill. I'm going to keep that real. Some people just want to dance check. Some of y'all are just some lazy-ass parents. Y'all tell y'all kids to play crazy because y'all can get an extra $500 a month. Your son ain't crazy. He needs his ass whooped. He ain't got no damn emotional self-control.
Yeah.
And that's
Some kids are just naturally bad. I mean, it doesn't matter how much great parenting you can do. You'd be a mentor to them. I'm related to one of them. Just wants to fuck up just for the sake of fucking up. And, again, that it happens, but so many want to sit there and coddle and baby some of these individuals. When we don't have any tough love out here, there's no conflict resolution. Just like that situation you told with the bucket of water, that what you did was conflict resolution.
Yeah, but
anybody
I'm in my 40s now. I'm in my 40s. If that had happened like 10, 15 years ago, I'd have been dumping with them kids. Are you what? You coming to my door? Yo, I didn't even do it. But I'd have been like, yo, what the fuck you cutting my, what? You know what I'm saying? And I'd have my baseball bat and, you know, I'd have, you know, and I don't know, man. This is crazy. But I got to say, I was raised by my pops. And my pops, whenever I had beef in the street, you know, pops, because my pops was a Vietnam veteran and he had lived that wildlife. Yo, come with me and we're going to go. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, we be talking about it and it will all end up, you know, with you shaking hands. Because that's how it is. That's how it is. And this is the importance of fathers. And but not just any fathers, but mature men.
Right. Don't say, thank you. I'm glad you made that clear. Not any.
And that's the thing about men. We're not supposed to have kids when we're young. We're supposed to have kids when we're older. This is just dawning on me. Like right now I'm 44. I would love to have a baby now. Because, you know, I'm kind of set in my career now. It wouldn't bother me to stay home and take care of my of an infant, as opposed to when I was back, you know, 15 years ago when I had to stay home with my daughter. I'm like, yo, I could be out in the street. I could be chasing shorty with the fat ass. I could be hanging out with my homeboys. now I got to stay here with her. But now I'll be like, I don't hang out. I don't do none of that stuff no more. You know, on a Saturday night, mm-hmm. I'm usually in the crib.
Right.
You know, and I have money now. You know, I could bank some money away for a baby. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't bother me to go out and buy an outfit for her or set a bank account. Actually, that's what I got to do next month, set one up for my daughter. But what I'm saying is, when we're older, we ain't trying to prove nothing to the world. You know, I ain't got to prove. You know, if as a matter of fact, I work at a college, and there's a lot of girls at the college. You know, and, you know, when you work at a university, there's old people and young people. You know, if I see a good-looking woman, you know, hey, she's nice-looking. I keep it moving. You know, I don't have nothing to prove to her. You know, I ain't got nothing to prove to my – oh, I wonder if I could pull that. I ain't got to worry about that no more. So, you know, but when I was, when I was younger, that's what it was all about. So, I don't know. Like I said, I just think that we got it all twisted. Young men should be working toward their goals, working toward having something to build that legacy. And then when you achieve it or you're well on your way to achieving it, that's when we should start thinking about families. But most of us, you know, you get a family because you was out there, you know, one night you forgot to wear the condom or the condom broke or there was a leak in the condom. And, hey, voila, now you got a fam.
Yeah, a lot of instant families in the black community.
Yeah, I mean, and
sad
and,
but
you know,
true. Just hey.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anyone except people of really other races who are like, oh, you know, honey, I'm pregnant with the, you know, how you see the little EPT commercial. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, these are the husband and wife. They're looking at the little pregnancy test. I don't know nobody who went through that. It's just like, damn, I'm pregnant. Like, oh, what? You for real? Oh, hell no. You know, it's a bunch of mess. And we got to get back to that. We have to get back to the basics and just, you know, letting people know, you know, it's real. Once you have that child with that person, you are stuck with that person for life. There is no, you are bonded with that person. God says you're with them, if you're not with them, you have to make better decisions. It's just, it saves you so much of a headache in the long run. And I think that especially young people listening, take this from us, you know, take this from people who are older than you who are telling you. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, the dude might be talking, you know, this and that, and he's making himself seem like what he is, you know, more than what he is. But when it comes down to it, can he really be there for your child and do what he needs to do? Is he going to marry you? Is he going to be a father to that child, or is he going to run off?
Yeah.
And that's, those are the questions that we have to ask. You can't just go off of somebody's, you know, physical appearance, oh, because he's cute. That means nothing. Or, oh, because she's fine. Her being fine does not mean that she has mothering qualities. And that's the problem now. We're too stuck on physical characteristics as opposed to getting to know that person deep down inside and making it their, you know, father material or mother material.
And
that's
like
why a lot of folks getting
too. And like this brother said too. How many times, you know, are you willing to like to have dinner with her family? Or is this guy willing to come over and have dinner with the family, meet your moms and your pops? Because you know, most of the times, you know, it's, I'm not trying to meet no jumpwell's family. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the booty call. What? I got other stuff to do. You know what I'm saying? I got other stuff to do. I don't need to be, you know, hanging out with you. Come on. You know, every time you talk, you give me a headache. Every time you talk, you give me a headache. I mean, unless you got your legs open, I'm out.
Yeah. That's sadly how it is, and to me, trying to make something. I mean, there's some people trying to make seasonal people. Long term, and
yeah,
you can't
right.
do it.
Yeah, you're right. All right, listen, I'm at work, so I gotta go. It was a pleasure.
All right, we're gonna go ahead.
All right.
Thanks for calling in. I enjoyed it.
Hey T, I'm a long time stan. No, I'm joking. I'll talk to you later. Good night, y'all.
All right, thanks.
All
bye.
Right, man.
Bye.
Man.
I enjoyed his conversation. We were talking about him in the chat room, and he sounds good for being 43. Y'all said it. Next. No, tonight has been a really good night. Tonight has been a really good night. Oh, I'm sorry, Ron. I didn't mean to mute you. I was trying to mute somebody else. But
man,
hold on. We got
breath.
One more caller.
Yeah.
Now, this caller is calling in from a Skype number. It's all one, so it might be a troll. We're going to see who it is.
Well,
all right. 1111, we're letting you in on the line. They hung up. Okay.
Figures.
Nelson, that has been a really good night. I've had a, I mean, the conversation, we went from talking about, what we start the conversation off with? We were talking about damn Ghostface Killah. He had me hot. And now we went from that to talking about single parenting and, you know,
yeah.
mothering, college. We had a lot of really good discussions tonight. We had about 22 people in the chat room at one point in time. So definitely a really good night. Lots of really good conversations. I definitely enjoyed speaking with everyone here and everybody who called in. I really appreciate everybody's input. Yeah, we, you know, even if it's just an hour or two dialogue just to put some positivity out there, because there is so much negativity out here, especially on the internet. You know, sometimes
yeah.
just being on the net is just emotionally draining. You know,
yeah.
being on the net literally will make you hate your own race of people because of all the bullshit. It's like, oh, my God, black men are just insane. They're going crazy. Black women are ratchet. All they do is twerk. You know, the gays are constantly crying and whining. I mean, like, the internet would just drive you nuts. It's like sometimes
mm-hmm.
you have to
yeah.
unplug yourself from the matrix and get out there and just talk to other positive, like-minded people. And that's why I enjoy Blog Talk Radio. And that's why I enjoy, you know, getting to know more of my subscribers. And matter of fact, Jamal, remember Jamal from here?
Yeah.
He came on my Facebook page. He says that he is sad that he cannot come on Blog Talk Radio. He doesn't have the internet right now. So that's why he hasn't been able to come. So shout out to Jamal. We still got love for you. I hope your internet service comes back on. Once it does, I would really enjoy having you back in the chat room because Jamal was always a sweetheart, and he used to have me cracking up. So hopefully he'll have his internet back up here in a few weeks, he says.
Oh, hey, you know, life happens. You know, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just
want
to say, like, when you have people like Lovely T on not just on social media, you guys can have your own voice, too. And, of course, you're going to get trolls, especially when you have a positive message. But if you're consistent about your convictions, your message will go through all the bullshit. You'll have people who listen, just like you have people here. You know, you drawn here, T. So, as I said, we are a solution. We just have to be, we have to have a lot more faith in what we're doing, even though if it seems like it's a struggle. Some struggles, there's a blessing on the other side. And said, my blessing is knowing a good individual like T.
Aw, that's so sweet. Thank you. I appreciate
right. and,
that.
You know me, I'm brutally honest. I'm not good at sugarcoating. I don't work at Willy Wonka Factory. I can't do it.
No, I can't either. Sean's here. He said he's hella late. I'll go through the little guesses. I said, I know Sean didn't just show up.
Damn,
12 minutes left to the show. Sean, you're going to have to listen to this whole show. It was a very good episode. So even though you were late, it's okay. It's being recorded. It will be in syndication.
You got homework.
Hell yeah. Gene ain't been here either. Gene come on Facebook. He be like, dang, I missed the show.
Yeah.
But he'll go back and listen to it. So I miss some of my regulars that used to be in the chat room. Hopefully they'll be able to come back and join us again. Like Danica. Danica was like the biggest Obama hater. Danica would break down the NDAA like nobody else. I miss her being in the chat room. Danica used to go hard. Like Obama. She'd go off on Obama. I said, Danica's the angriest teen I've ever met. Yeah, we used to have a ball. But no, we got about 10 minutes left to the show. It's been a really, really good show. It really has. Oh, look at Mr. X White Folks says, T's mom and dad must have dropped her in a barrel of sugar when she was a baby because she's so sweet. Thank you.
Wow.
She said to see her. I wish. They probably got me on my head a few times. Y'all know I'm not all there, but I try. Lord knows I try. I swear.
She ain't wearing a helmet no more.
No. Mm-mm. It won't fit off my afro. That's the truth. That is the truth. It will not fit. Oh, okay. Before we leave, we're going to talk about one more just ratchet person because he just popped into my head. Chio, you know he had married that white woman 2 weeks ago? How about she's divorcing him, and it's only been 2 weeks? She says that she feels like T.O. used her for her money to buy a $2 million house in Sherman Oaks, California. So she's real upset. She's demanding a divorce. I said, if this ain't some ratchet stuff, I don't know what is. Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's the supposed white women who are gold digging the black guys. I said, how the hell is he gold digging the white girl? What does she do for a living? I think she's like a realtor or something like that. And he's an ex-football player. I don't even know if he still plays. But I'm just like, if that ain't some ratchet stuff, I don't know what is.
I thought he was in the D-League at one point.
I don't know. T.I. is broke. She's real upset. She's talking about suing him and everything. And this just goes to show you why a lot of folks think marriage and relationships are a joke. You know, you claim that you've known him for 5 years and y'all are so in love, and in less than 2 weeks you're ready to call it quits. It's almost like, what was the point of them even getting married?
Everybody, you see, the problem with marriages nowadays, everyone plays a role until their agenda is exposed. Again, like, if they say they're all about you, I don't care if you went to Jared and all that foolishness, you didn't got married in the Bahamas or Puerto Rico, that person's agenda is going to show. If they are about you, they're going to show it. Regardless of what they say, everything that sounds nice, they're going to show what they're about. And, you know, they can say all the sweetest things in the world, but then, like, you can only hide that lie for so long.
Right. So, yeah, for so long. Yeah, it's a trip. He's a trip. We're gonna have to do a show about that. Mr. X is saying that he does not mess with white women. And Mr. X is white. No, he's white. He's white. That's Jared. That's my little homie on Facebook. And he only dates black women. I believe he has a black wife. Y'all and I have a very good memory, so I really be having conversations with y'all. But we're going to have a show. Maybe we'll do it maybe next week. I don't know. But we'll have like a little interracial dating show. And we'll just talk about interracial dating and interracial relationships. I think that would be a good show. We haven't had one thus far this year.
Yes.
You know, and break up some of these myths. And I think that too many people are getting into interracial relationships assuming that if they get with somebody of a different race, their life is going to somehow be, you know, easier. Oh, if I get me a white queen, there will be no argument and temperament, and she will always have my breakfast, lunch, and dinner ready at a certain time. And it's like, no, she may not even know how to cook. You know, you don't know. Just like, you know, people who think that I'm going to get with an Asian man, and then my baby going to have some pretty hair and some really cute clammy eyes, and, you know, just the goofy stuff that people come up with.
Wow.
And it's just like, how about getting to know that person as a human being and then fall in love with that person and not just get with them because of their race? So I think that would be a really, really good topic to talk about next week, because you do have a lot of people who are getting into relationships, you know, for the wrong reasons. And sometimes people feel like, okay, I'm going to hurt and dead outside my race, and that's going to solve all my issues. And people are finding out, you know, no, that doesn't. A person is still a person, you know. Just because you have a white man does not mean that he's never going to cheat on you, you know. So you have to think about that person on a personal level and not just going off of their skin tone thinking that all of a sudden, you know, I got the great white hope in my corner. So I think that would be a good debate to have. So all of you guys, if you're in interracial relationships, if you date interracially, you know, make sure you come by the show next week or call in and let us know your stories, and if you have some interracial horror stories, we like to hear them too, because you know we love ratchetness. Because everything ain't sweet. We love a good ratchet tale. You know, folks always kind of make shit more than what it is. Man, when I used to date black women, I was going through hell, but then I met Becky, and this, you know, no, we want to hear both the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Keep it real. Keep it real.
Oh,
but yeah,
my God.
We're down to about, I think next week will be an interesting show. So we're down to about 5 minutes left. So we can go ahead and just get ready to sign off. It looks like everybody's getting ready to go. I appreciate everybody who came in. Thank you, David. David said that I remind him of Wendy Williams without the penis. Thank you. I appreciate that. In the chat room, out. I'm happy to announce I don't have one of those. So thank you. Yeah, Wendy's a chick. She's come a long way. She's come a long way.
You know, that could be a fucked up joke, but I'm going to leave it alone.
I appreciate you. But, yeah, so I think this week, let's think about, you know, coming up with a hustle, group economics. There's a lot of really good things that were said during the show, and I hope everybody takes, you know, a little piece from everyone that called in and, you know, what people wrote in the chat room and you know, do something with it. If you know there's folks in your neighborhood who need, you know, their driveways plowed, go out there and ask them. You know, folks are willing to play, yeah. I mean, to play, pay, excuse me, they're willing to pay you guys to do certain things like that, because I ain't getting out there shoveling, I'll get sick. But that little boy that come over here, I sure do pay him. You know, so you got to get out there and find ways to make money and ways to do what you have to do. You know, even if you're out here selling Girl Scout cookies, just make sure you stay away from Strawberry Tree Lane.
Oh.
You must have not watched the video, Ronan, because that laugh came in kind of late. Now watch the people in the chat room. They know what I'm talking about, Strawberry Tree Lane, with that crazy man who put out that gun on that Girl Scout.
Wow.
You didn't watch that video?
No, I heard about it. Like, matter of fact,
am I shooting video for my house?
Yeah, my cousin got held up for Girl Scout cookies. So.
Everybody in the chat was laughing. I told you they wouldn't know what I was talking about. That news reporter said it happened on the 300 block of Strawberry Tree Lane. I said, what? Strawberry Tree Lane?
Strawberry Tree Lane. That just sounds
like. How the hell you live on Strawberry Tree Lane and you pulling out pistols? Should be handing out strawberries and fig.
Now, what's more scary, you're the gun or some guy handing you strawberries at Strawberry Tree Lane?
That poor little girl. I felt so bad for that little girl. They said she ran off screaming. I said she kind of ran off doing that too.
Oh, just wanted
to sell you a box of cookies, sir. Goodness. That's our nuts out here. It's like you got to be careful. People out here are just, I don't know what's going on. David said there's strawberry juice all over my sidewalk.
Hey, there's a whole slew of shows we can cover this on, but let's take one show at a time.
Yeah, that was a crazy video. I was just like, wow, he looked just as mean too. Crazy California. Stateful, not one. Between Cali and Florida, they both just need to float away. Float out.
Well, Texas ain't too far behind.
Strike for Texas. You know what, though? Your state has been really good this month so far. I have not done no stories in the past. I want to say 2 weeks in Texas.
No, there was somebody who was murdered. They had an interracial relationship, so we got to bring that up next show.
The man who got his ear and stuff cut?
Yeah, his throat cut. Yeah.
Okay, that was in Texas. Okay, well, I take that back, Texas.
That was Texas.
There will be a video on you guys tomorrow, so you guys stay tuned. Tripling Texas is back in the damn news. That's my news reporter voice. People be like, where do you get that voice from? I get it from the news reporters because, you know, they be trying to act all serious and shit. Like, they're trying, like, not to start cracking up laughing. Like, hi, this is David, and I'm here with CNN News, and we're here on the location, and this woman has just been shot. So that's why my news reporter voice, and I be like, Trifling Texas.
Oh, man. This is
fun. So we're down to the last. We're down to the last minute. So I'm going to go ahead and hang up. 90 seconds. The lady's talking in my ear. But I had a really good show. Thanks again to everyone who called in. Thank you to everybody in the chat room. Y'all had me cracking up. Another good show. We will be back next Friday. Same time, same place, same people. See y'all later. Bye.